really shocking news. And I say shocking because there are some senators that if they passed away or elected officials that I would be surprised, but not shocked. Sure. And to see the news early Sunday morning that Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina had died was shocking to me.
Absolutely. I mean, we just saw pictures of him on Friday, like in Ukraine.
He did a press conference. Yeah, he was.
Like, he was supposed to be at Meet the Press that day.
Yes. I mean, he was out running around, staying busy. There was no indication, right, publicly that he hadn't been feeling well. And one thing about when people pass in D.C. and in politics that kind of irks me is the amount of two types of tweets. One, I never met the guy, but
yeah.
And two, I never agreed with him at all, but the amount of people in DC who see someone passing away and make it an opportunity to talk about themselves is unparalleled. It is nonstop. This city's like, I saw Lindsey Graham once. Saw him.
Yes.
And I think that just frustrates me as a side. I did not know Senator Graham, so I can only speak to what I saw of him and what I've heard recently of him. And what I've heard recently of him is unbelievable, and I had no idea. I had no idea that both of his parents died when he was young, and within less than a year and a half, both of his parents died, and he had to take over custody of his sister, who was 13 at the time, adopted her, helped raise her, and adopted her so that she could get his military benefits while he was serving in the Air Force. And now the reporting is that the governor, H.R. McMaster of South Carolina, gets to select the replacement for Senator Graham for the remainder of his term, which was only until January of this year. Yeah, Senator Graham was in an election cycle right now, will be his sister, Darlene, which if you ever want somebody who can carry on a message and a mission and the will of someone truly as a placeholder, as a guardian of the seat, as someone who can maintain and do the work. I think Senator Graham would be, I didn't know him well, but given what I've read and what I've heard of such great accounts of him, that he would be over the moon excited that his sister would be given this opportunity.
You know, in these situations, you're always looking for someone to be select that's going to be a steward of that seat. You know, you're a temporary custodian until whatever election is supposed to happen. And given the life story that we're talking about here, you can't think of a better way to bookend that story than, you know, his sister that he was also a parent to along the way, you know, becoming a United States Senator, in his name. I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, I think oftentimes these things get so politicized so quickly, and it can get really gross and icky, frankly, as people jockey. I mean, like, nothing made me cringe more than when I saw Nancy Mace's tweet, quoting Godfather 3 just when I thought I was up. They pull me back in. First of all, nobody's asking for you. No one's pulling you, okay?
Literally, like, no one.
Nobody's sitting there going, you know what would be great is if Nancy Mace became our... Like, no one is having that conversation. You finished last in the last ballot you appeared on. Take the hint, read the room. Second, it's just like the rush to just throw yourself out there and to become a part of it. It's so desperate in this case, and it's so icky. And I'm glad. I think Governor McMaster is doing the right thing. And obviously, if this is something she's willing to take on for again just a few months here, and like I think it's a wonderful, beautiful way to honor her, you know, her late brother, and you know that is I think everyone across the board should be okay with it.
Yeah, and Lindsey Graham was a political animal in the truest, most earnest way you could expect it. He wanted to make deals. He wanted to get things done, especially when it came to America's role geopolitically. Mm-hmm. He was part of, you know, the three amigos, John McCain and Joe Lieberman, and a guy who was willing to do the work to make sure things were getting done. And it's funny, a lot of people have talked about how funny he was, including former Senator Al Franken, former Saturday Night Live cast member Al Franken, saying the funniest senator is Lindsey Graham. And they asked him, it's kind of a weird one, they asked him, like, well, why? And he he made a joke one time that if he, you know, he told Senator Graham, if I was a Republican, I would vote for you. And he goes, yeah, that's the problem.
It's this like kind of passing of the torch generationally. Like he was the last of the amigos with Lieberman and McCain. We are quickly losing that institutional knowledge of people who remember and were part of a time where politics worked really differently and worked better. Some might say, I certainly believe so. And it did put a spotlight too on just some of the last of the old guard that remains. I think of Senator Grassley, who's like 93 years old. Mm-hmm. Obviously Senator McConnell and the health challenges that he's seeing with. We did get an update proof of life from McConnell shortly after the Graham news hit, which was.
But one thing I want to say about Senator Graham is there were a lot of international targets against Senator Graham. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way they have handled this so far about putting out the information about that they put out the initial autopsy, still waiting on a few things, but to say they believe it was, you know, a heart attack, essentially.
A
medical condition that over time took him out. However, given the level of intensity of the threats by Iran, by Russia, by America's geopolitical foes against Senator Graham, asking the questions and making sure the investigation is thorough is not a conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theories come when people don't like what the answer ends up being. But I believe that the FBI being involved is a good thing because we should ask questions. If one of our top politicians in the country of either party is a known target of foreign adversaries suddenly dies. And yes, it is okay to ask those questions. It is okay to say, did something happen? And for the answer ultimately to be, which is what it's pointing to, that it was a medical
natural causes, if you will, nothing nefarious. I think it's unfortunate we live in a time where across the board, like conspiracy theories and theorists can use and latch onto these moments like parasites and try to advance their own means and agenda and try to really taint, what is across which a lot of people are mourning. Like, again, people don't always understand this, but when you've worked in this institution, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, like there, you have a lot more in common than you don't. And this is someone who was in this body for a really, really long time. I mean, came to Congress back in 94 during the Republican Revolution with
I
Gingrich.
Know. And one thing that people probably won't realize is today, when they gavel in the Senate, and probably for the remainder of the week, I don't know if it'll go beyond that, they will lay a black cloth over Senator Graham's desk in the chamber, and they'll put white roses generally on that. For usually about the week of this week of legislative session, they'll honor his desk. And so anybody who sees anything this week, that is what they do to honor members when they die in service in the chamber.
Shocking. It was. I woke up, saw that. I'm like, that can't possibly be right. He was literally just in Ukraine. Again, he spent the final days of his life dedicated to, his mission and goal and real calling on the foreign policy front of trying to protect America's interests and his way of trying to help make the case for why we still need to have skin in the game in the war with Ukraine and Russia. And I think the best thing that his colleagues could do to honor the senator is to consider exactly what he spent the last days of his life fighting for.
Sanctions on Russia, making sure we're supporting, our allies around the world. And history will write the memories and the record of Lindsey Graham, but his friends and his family will be the ones who get to honor him. And right now it seems like there's a lot of really good honoring that's going on for the senator. And all politics aside, a person like that, so well, renowned across the political spectrum. I mean, Amy Klobuchar is tweeting photos, right? Cory Booker is doing a direct-to-camera video. When you talk about the political spectrum here, Lindsey Graham had the respect of all of them. And so, to Senator Graham, rest in peace.
Well,
man.
And I think, again, there's a lot of times where someone passes away where it gets their entire body of work, if you will, gets relitigated and how members of the opposite party honor that person, become subject for scrutiny and cheap attacks. And to say it's like, for all the talk about Republicans and Democrats and some of the ugliness we've seen with other situations, like, I think Democrats have, by and large, done a really stand-up job respecting their former colleague and honoring him as such.
Yeah, I think it speaks a lot to Lindsey. I really does, to Senator Graham. So to his team and everybody, we're really sorry. I mean, that's just shocking. Well, we did get an update on somebody else we haven't, not somebody else. I mean, we haven't seen Senator McConnell in a while, former majority leader. And he put out a video, or a picture.
Yeah, sure, him and his wife.
Elaine, in the hospital with the newspaper in hand.
Proof of life.
All of the level of detail and the specificity that Senator McConnell's office put in that tweet and in that statement about kind of how he had gotten to where he was, the testing, the process. Wow, wouldn't that have been helpful if you had done that the entire time? If you had said, he's fallen, they're worried there might be underlying issues, he's staying for testing, he now has pneumonia. When you start asking questions because there's not information, that's where conspiracy theories start about AI videos, about whether or not he's actually okay. And all of that aside, I have a lot of respect for former Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. I think he has, when it comes to institutionalists, when it comes to the work he has done, when it comes to the way he worked in the chamber of the United States Senate, he was exceptional. He is exceptional. He will be one of the largest figures this nation will ever know. His consequence will truly be written in the history books of our nation and of our country. At the end of his tweet, he said, it will be a while. You know, I won't be back quite yet to vote in the Senate, but I'm still doing the work that's important to you. And this is kind of the biggest moment for me, but one of those moments where you've always had it in your mind, when is it time to step aside? And voting is a key part of being an elected official and the work you must effectuate for the people who elected you. And we don't allow proxy voting. We don't allow it in the House anymore, right? It was there during COVID. It was never allowed in the United States.
Never allowed in the Senate.
The only way you could ever even kind of close to proxy vote is if you weren't dressed appropriately to physically go on the Senate floor. You have to stand in the cloakroom and shout
and
your
yell,
vote from the cloakroom.
Aye.
Yeah. So there is no shortcutting a major portion of doing the job. And while I know medical emergencies happen, I know, you know, illnesses happen, this is a very prolonged instance at the end of someone's career. I know why he's holding on and why he doesn't want to have the last part of his career be him leaving ill.
Yeah.
This is one of those instances where the questions absolutely should be asked. Are people making the right decision for everybody else around them or just for themselves? And if you read Leader McConnell's stuff, he was saying, I still have work to do on your behalf. I'm not, you know, he seems to all be there, but it makes me a little sad to have to ask these questions of people I've worked with and worked for and have such reverence for, because you don't want to see something end like that.
I mean, I just think about the last image we have of former Senator Dianne Feinstein. And it's like a really good example. Like, you let it go too far, too long. Like, you were not well served by those around you, in my opinion. Like, if I had lived the career, the longevity, the impact of Senator McConnell, I would not want the last image of me to be being wheeled through, you know, the Dirksen Hart or Russell building.
That's why he's fighting, you know? That's part of what he's fighting for, to get back that one more time,
and
it's like
the typical, you know, professional athlete who, like, played one game too many or what, one season too long.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just think that, you know, Father Time is undefeated for a reason. And if you don't bow out now of your own accord at this point, circumstances could happen where something much more, you know, embarrassing or shocking or tragic could happen. And I mean, if you have it in your mind, like, you know what, when I go, I wanted to go giving a floor speech on the Senate floor. Okay, I guess that's how you want to go. But these things can deteriorate really quickly, and you're old. I mean, you are old, and you have been having issues for a minute
age
now.
Age limits, I think, are a thing.
I do think it's time for this country to have a very serious conversation about age limits. The confines of our legislation, of our legislators, were created at a time where you didn't live past 40. The founding fathers could not have imagined a time where we're living to 80 and 90 and where people are serving in public office for 40, 50, 60 years. And so we should have a conversation about that, because it's also just sad to see someone literally waste away and decay before your very eyes. And I don't think that really, I know why you want to live on. I know why you want to fight. It's your life and it's the only one you got. So I understand that. But I don't think that there is a limit to how much you can do the job when you are also battling father time. And the people, the constituency deserves people who can do the job 100% of the time.
I totally agree. And there is definitely something to be said for considering age limits, for actually legislating that into law, and for the age limit in my mind to be 75.
Yes, because there totally
is a big difference between, listen, there can be big differences between 75-year-olds, but there are even bigger differences between 80-year-olds.
Absolutely.
And even bigger, like people, they age very differently, especially at that point. And so, yeah, I mean, Strom Thurmond, who was the senator in South Carolina before Lindsey Graham, was almost 100 when he left the freaking institution. I mean, we have, that was a long time ago, don't get me wrong, but we
got Chuck Grassley in the 90s.
I was
going to
say,
right now.
I have a lot of admiration for Senator Grassley. And again, at 93, the man's outside farming still going, you know, I got the corn up to my ears now. It's 4th of July in Iowa. And he's got a 75-year-old vacuum cleaner, too. I mean, that guy is at least. But again, I would not say at this point that anybody that would be serving at 93 should be running for office to get to that point. And this is just one of those instances where I think we've got to let the, you know, got to let it go a little bit. And
listen, we all, like all of us who have older family understands, like there comes a point in time where you got to sit grandma or grandpa down and say, it's time to take your car keys. You can't drive anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and it is painful. It is uncomfortable, but you are not able to function in the way that you used to. And we have to all adapt and calibrate towards that for the good of all. Because if we don't take your keys away, you're going to end up hurting someone unintentionally. And again, I think that the constituencies deserve we have a full-time legislature, right or wrong. That's what we got. So if you can't, there's no job in America where you're going to be able to retain your job. If you say, you know what? I'm not quite up to doing the job yet. I will eventually, but like for an undetermined amount of time, I'm not going to show up. Like that's not realistic. That's not how it works. So I'm afraid to say, I do think that Senator would be doing actually himself and his legacy a real service if he voluntarily said, you know what, like it's time to go. And I'm going to walk out of that chamber on the power of my own two feet, give my last speech and walk off into the sunset.
Yeah,
that is a much better way to be remembered.
I mean, that's the thing though, right? But to say that, you have to give him time to be able to get well enough to get out of the hospital, to get to the floor one more time for that farewell address, because I can actually tell you, your farewell address in the U.S. Senate is one that your staff all comes down for on the floor, especially if you're a member.
I would tell you, like, people would gladly make an exception for him to walk away right now and say, listen, at a date of your choosing, the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, I mean, this is the nostalgia institutionalism of me just explaining it a bit more to say that those are just a huge moment for a member, especially one with a long and storied career. It's like your maiden speech. Technically, generally speaking, freshmen don't give their maiden speech or historically before a year of service as a U.S. senator. So you can watch and understand the institution, the procedures, the floor, and the outcomes a bit more before you speak in the body. It's gone a little bit away. It used to be a bit more of a thing about 10 to 15 years ago.
We elect people now who like to speak as soon as they can.
We want to share our opinions all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, those are some speeches that are really major and consequential in a senator's career. Your maiden speech, your freshman speech, and then your end of your address. And that doesn't speak to the work you do in between and the speeches you give. So I get it. I think that the conversations need to be really had about, are we making the best decision for everyone else or just for ourselves?